This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. A new cookbook answers 100 questions the authors say they hear a lot from home cooks. Like, why does my guacamole never taste like the guac at Mexican restaurants? What's the difference between a $30 knife and a $150 knife? And should I cook with MSG? We're going to hear the answers to some of those questions on this week's edition of Food Friday. Matt Rodbard is editor-in-chief of Taste Magazine, co-author of the new cookbook, Food IQ, 100 questions, answers, and recipes to raise your cooking smarts. Also, I learned now, a graduate of UW-Madison. Matt, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, Rob. What's up? Nice to be here.
Yeah, thank good you. To have you back in Wisconsin.
Love Madison. Absolutely.
Well, in your job as a food writer, I imagine like anybody who meets you probably comes up with some kind of question about their home cookery. Can you talk about the inspiration for Food IQ and how you started to decide which were the biggest questions to answer?
You know, Rob, narrowing down to 100 was difficult, but I worked with my co-author, Daniel Holtzman, who's a chef, and I'm a food writer, and we came together. The main goal of Food IQ is giving confidence to the home cook. And we think that home cooks need this kind of confidence because there's an understanding that food is at the center of all of our lives. You're doing a show called Food Friday. Like, we're not teaching how to boil water. Everyone is advanced beyond that. So we find these 100 questions have derived from the questions that real foodies, we're calling them Foodie 2.0, ask us all the time.
And you're not, one thing I like about this is you're not snobby about this. You're like, microwave? Yeah, sometimes the microwave is great. Like, sometimes those easy shortcuts are the right way to do it.
Absolutely, Rob. You know, the fact of the matter is food writers are snobby, and we need to check ourselves because we talk down sometimes. And honestly, I feel that cooking should be diplomatic. It should bring people together, and using the microwave it's an amazing tool. You should use it. You should cook with frozen vegetables, like the frozen pea. Honestly, you have amazing farmers market at the square, and the produce there is gorgeous. But really, frozen peas are honestly going to beat out those fresh May peas, like, every single time.
You've got a structure in the book. You've got a question and answer and then a recipe to go with it. One is pretty straightforward. How can I make awesome mac and cheese, baked mac and cheese like I get at restaurants? And you've got a recipe, a great mac and cheese recipe. You've shared it with us. It's at WPR.org/Food Friday. What is the secret to a great homemade mac and cheese?
It's a great question. We wanted to answer this. We also wanted to give a little food culture. The idea of the Foodie 2.0, as I mentioned, is not just about cooking it, but it's about learning about the Black history of mac and cheese. And we interviewed Therese Nelson, who runs this amazing site, The Black Culinary History. So the book is chock full of interviews with experts, not just Daniel and I, but over 25 of those. The secret, you ask, it's eggs. You add eggs to mac and cheese, and it stabilizes it. It gives you that kind of architecture, you know, that like high cubes of mac and cheese that you'll get at those wonderful restaurants. That's the key.
Right. And yeah, so it's baked and it's got the egg to hold it together. So when I'm serving it up, I'm going to end up with almost like a casserole form that holds its cubic shape, not that splat of noodles that I usually get when I make it at home.
100%. And you know, you're going to bake it again and crisp the top and get that nice crispy crust. But exactly as you said, it's using those cubes, but using eggs as a stabilizer. If you used, like, we love box mac and cheese, it's amazing. But if you put that into the oven and tried to bake it, it would just splatter. So it's having a stabilizer, and eggs is the answer. And check it out. Yeah.
Check out that recipe at WPR.org/Food Friday. It is Food Friday. We're talking to Matt Rodbard, co-author of the new book, Food IQ. He and his co-author tackle 100 questions with recipes to go along with them. Let's talk a little bit about gear, Matt. There's a whole section on this that answers questions like, do I need to buy blank? And one of those blanks is a more expensive knife. What are we thinking about if we're deciding how much to plunk down on our main kitchen knife?
You know, knives are central to a kitchen. We know that. What we say is, you know, knives are about having a knife that feels great in the hand, not maybe buying those knife blocks that have 5 or 6 different knives, but going one by one. Listen, I have a knife that I bought in Tokyo for $35. It has a plastic handle. I use it all the time. I also have an amazing Kramer knife that costs a couple hundred dollars that I was given as a gift. we're not saying you need to buy X type of knife. What we are saying, though, is you need to sharpen your knives. Because a lot of times you walk into a kitchen, the knives aren't sharpened. And that's going to cause a lot of problems. They're going to cause a lot. Like, the reason the onions make you cry, it's not because the onions are angry at you. It's because you're using a dull knife. It's shattering the molecules of the onion, and it's spraying out all of this basically sulfur. And we talk about onions a lot in the book. And really, having that sharp knife will help you, defy that.
I want to check out another recipe you've shared with us. You tackled the secret of making a great hamburger. What is the secret? What kind of tips do you have for people?
Like, I have to shout out Plaza. You know, I had a few Plazas. I had a few Dottie's dumplings. Mispronouncing it. But I feel Madison already has great burgers. Like, so I don't want to ever front like you guys don't know what you're doing. Burgers, okay? Just to be clear. but
you went to Oklahoma, I think, for your burger secrets this time, which is okay.
We did. Yeah, okay. We'll get back to the book. So we have an Oklahoma smash burger, and we really feel like this is the best burger out there. You start with really thinly sliced onions that you put in a little bit of salt for a couple minutes, drain out that water. You put that thinly sliced on the flat top griddle. And then you put a ball of meat on top of it. I like a 80-20. 80% lean, 20% fat. Personally, like that, it gives you a lot of fat content. Fat's flavor. And then you smash it. You're smashing the meat patty into the onions that have been crisped. Ooh. You flip it, and you add a slice of cheese on top of that that oniony, crispy layer. You do it for another couple minutes, and there you are, medium rare Oklahoma smash burger.
Find that recipe at WPR.org/Food Friday. Okay, another question I threw out in the setup there. MSG had a bad rap at restaurants for a long time. You say we should overcome our aversion to MSG in the United States. Why is that?
Well, thank you for asking this. There's a long history of xenophobia around MSG. Chinese restaurant syndrome was written about in JAMA in the 1990s, and that has been debunked. MSG is everywhere, and it's in snack foods. And so to kind of pinpoint MSG being in Chinese food is incorrect. So we clear that up first. But more importantly, we talk about cooking with MSG, because you can't just sprinkle MSG on everything like salt. What you have to do is have a real ratio of MSG and salt, and then use that to enhance the flavors of your cooking. So what we call for is a quarter teaspoon of MSG for every tablespoon of kosher salt. You've got this little magic. It could be like its own shaker, and you add that a sauce, or you could add it to some sauteed vegetables, and it really enhances the flavor without tasting too salty. It's really. Do you have MSG in your kitchen?
I don't, and my wife fears it a little, but maybe I'll talk her into giving it a try again.
There is fear around it, but as I said, it's definitely a lot of bunk information, because it really is in the cooking that you're going to have pretty much everywhere.
Now, getting back to gear a little bit here, you go kind of item by item with the question, should I buy this? And there's so much out there. If I bought every potential kitchen tool, I'd need to build a bigger kitchen, which I couldn't afford because I spent all my money on kitchen tools. When we're assessing the question, do I need blank? Like, how do we figure out if this is the thing we need, or it's the thing that's going to sit over there and collect dust?
Great question. We are a society of toys and gear. We love it. It's fun to buy it. We've pinpointed 10 pieces of equipment that we feel are essential in the kitchen. One of them is a wok. Buying a wok is, you can get it for $25, a carbon steel wok, and you can use it for so many different cooking techniques, not just stir fries as you'd assume, but you can cook pasta in it. Just such a great piece of equipment. One more I'll give you is the mandolin slicer. Have you ever used one of those?
I never have. I'm kind of scared, I'm not going to lie.
Me too. I'm honestly scared too. I mean, really, like, I'm not like the most confident mandolin guy, but I would say, to be honest, cause here we go. I'm not trying to be a snob. Like, I'm admitting that I'm not great at certain things. That's like part of food IQ. Like, we don't know everything. But I do know that when I'm careful, I use it to slice cauliflower for a raw cauliflower salad. And it's so perfect. It's like thinly sliced uniform. They call it soigné in the back of the kitchens. It's like the perfect way to slice. And you know, when you're having a dinner party, use that mandolin, and it's just really impressive to slice like that.
Cool. Now, you went through 100 questions here. Did you run across stuff, Matt, where you realized you might have been doing it wrong all along?
All the time. I mean, it's definitely, like, listen, like, Daniel Holzman, my co-author, was instrumental in showing me the light in many things. One of them is how to get crispy vegetables. So I asked him, like, how do you, like, I thought it was all about heat. Like, you know, how do you get crispy Brussels sprouts? Like, you know, at your favorite restaurant. I got to shout out Tori Miller, friend of mine, best chef in Madison. Love that guy. So how do you get those crispy Brussels sprouts like at Tori Miller's restaurants? Well, it's not about high heat. It's about adding more oil. And like, it's not that like hard to process that. But like, you have to know that for every pound of Brussels sprouts, you're using a quarter cup of oil. Now, granted, you don't want to cook like that every single day, but it's wonderful once in a while to have those perfectly crisp Brussels sprouts. So, like, I was doing it wrong. And listen, I was cooking with canned beans. And, like, listen, I'm okay with cooking with canned beans and canned chickpeas, but Daniel showed me that, you know, soaking your beans for a few hours and doing it all from the bag of, like, Rancho Gordo, to me, was, like, enlightening.
And Matt, I got to ask, you answered 100 questions. It seems like a sequel. The path would be pretty obvious. Are you starting to collect more questions for another round?
We are always collecting questions. Check out our website, foodiq.co. We do a weekly newsletter that you should sign up for. And we address lots of questions that were not in the book in that. And, you know, we're thinking about maybe focusing on the grocery store. Food shopping is at the center of our lives, and there's always questions. At the grocery store. One of the questions we recently did that's not in the book is, how do I cook without taste? Because, you know, with COVID and Omicron, a lot of folks lost their sense of taste and their sense of smell. And we went over that in a question. So check out the website, and we have lots of answers there.
Matt, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Rob, awesome to talk to you. And you know what? I'm just going to say it. Go Badgers. Let's do it.
Matt Rodbert is the editor-in-chief of Taste Magazine. He talked to us about the new cookbook he co-authored. It's called Food IQ, 100 Questions, Answers and Recipes to Raise Your Cooking Smarts. Find the recipes we talked about today at WPR.org/Food Friday. Got some comfort food there for you, a burger and a baked mac and cheese. That sounds really good. Well, right now, here's something that sounds really good. We've got the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive going on. We already hit our goal for the hour, and we are looking to exceed it. Molly Stentz is with me, and we're here to ask you to invest just a few minutes of time to support your future WPR listening.
You may not know it, but listener support makes up the largest piece of funding for the programs you count on. It's really why your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
One gift over our goal this hour with 5 minutes to go. Let's see how far past we can get. Make your gift to support the conversations you count on each and every day.
WPR programs are listener powered. It's your donation that will make the difference right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Another great Food Friday conversation there. I've learned so much. I'm such a better cook because I've had this front row seat to Food Friday. I've learned a lot of really practical stuff. This conversation, no exception. It's the kind of conversation that you could take home and use over the weekend. You can count on here on Central Time.
WPR. We are listener supported. You've heard me say that, but do you know what it means? It means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's your donation that makes the many topics that you tune in for every day possible. You choose the amount and make your gift.
WPR pairs well with a morning cup of coffee or afternoon tea. This member drive, enjoy your favorite hot beverage and show off your support for your favorite public radio station. Ask for the new 2022 WPR mug when you give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
At Wisconsin Public Radio, we ask you to decide how much to give. And no matter what you choose, you get 24 hours a day of news, talk, music, and entertainment in return. That's a great deal. Where do you wish you could get that kind of deal?
Just about anywhere. My education, a vacation, or anything really I could think about spending, I wish I could choose to pay.
Oh, beer?
A great Italian meal.
During this pledge drive, we ask you to contribute as generously as you can. And unlike with other things, you'll always be the one to decide how much to give.
You can give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Molly Stentz. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for all your favorite WPR programs. That's why your support right now is so important. Give $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
When you became a regular listener to Wisconsin Public Radio, you took an important first step. But now, take the next step and become a financial supporter.
That's a really important step because WPR relies so much on listener support. And here's a great thing. It's easy to give. It takes just a few minutes of your time online or on the phone. You just let us know how much you want to give, how you want to pay. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your name, and that's about it. It's over really quickly. So make the decision of how much you want to give, maybe $10 a month, then head over and make your gift. Online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Looking for your support in this winter member drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Make your very important gift right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
As the donor, you decide how much to give. We've heard from 11 people so far. Let's get in a few more in the next couple minutes. You can decide the amount. Maybe it's $100. Maybe it's $200 a month that's right for you.
Might be right what you spend every month for takeout or maybe for entertainment, things you enjoy, things that make life better, just like listening to WPR. The important thing is that you decide what amount's right for you, and then you make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR is listener powered, so that's why it's your gift. Your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. That's so important right now.
When you make your gift, if you give $10 a month or more, ask for the new Wisconsin Public Radio mug. A great way to show your support while you enjoy your favorite beverage. Chris in La Crosse says, finally in a financial position to be able to support WPR. I've listened for nearly 30 years, ever since I graduated college. I'm grateful to be able to support something that's been a huge part of my life. Chris, thank you so much. How about you? Make your gift right now in any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.